April gave me that if you needed that one.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, now you found it.
Looks like 6:30.
6:28.
28 there.
It says right here, 6:28.
Yeah, okay.
Yours is behind.
You do like finals coming up in the next weeks or so?
No, Greenwich, after Christmas.
Yeah. After Christmas? So you get a chance to study everything?
I guess.
You're lagging.
That's central.
This is on the system. I mean, you just had conferences too.
Yeah.
He's excused. I'm going to a
grandson had a
dinner.
College English or something.
Oh, really?
So he had a D minus or something. So he's got to get that up. Right there.
I tried to get that amended earlier, Ron, and you bucked with the
He's good on all the other classes, but that's just still hard for him.
That's a 6:30.
So you get this,
some things?
Or did this Patty get that?
Whoever's teaching it.
Does he go to
the class? Teaching the class.
Did you get my questions, Patty?
Yes, that I sent you answers.
Alabama football coach meets with some people, and he's got athletic rings on his
ring. Oh, no, teacher.
There's
a major
they only bring in the best.
Milton, he answers our next two questions. Don't worry.
I wondered that right away.
I guess he's really so what he's
Yeah, I just I was pretty sure that's what it was. I just wasn't sure if it was KR or if it was S.
None of you are going to pass
this tuition is actually someone who is in the program. It's not an employee tuition. Our employees are actually reimbursed.
You're going to really need to stay. Some of my stuff, or you're not going to get really
So I called Tammy. It's a tough one.
Yeah, all right. We'll call him.
He's been a little frustrated. He's coming.
And it's 6:30.
Okay.
And are there any citizen comments? Citizens comments. There are. If you have citizen comments, this is the time.
He's a lawyer. What does he?
All right. Please sit down, and if you would state your name,
okay,
and where you're from,
okay,
and we allow approximately 5 minutes.
Okay. All right. My name is Robert Hashimoto. I'm a colonel, United States Marine Corps, retired. My address is 3930 North Pine Grove in Chicago, Illinois. What I'm here is to speak on behalf of my friend John Simmers, and he has a neurological and speech disorder that makes it difficult for him to express himself. So I'm here to speak on his behalf and read a statement for him. John's address is 11713 212th Avenue in the village of Bristol. So my purpose here is to respectfully request the committee's consideration and finding in favor of a question that will support a resolution for authorizing to set aside the tax deed that was issued to Kenosha County for the tax parcel of John's land and home. To get to that point, I wanted to explain how we're interconnected here. So basically, John and I went to high school together in Chicago, Lane Tech High School, and right next to WGN Studios, where Ray Reiner was filmed. So, and right after that, we both went into the Marine Corps. So. Yes, it was a little while ago, but we got reappointed in 2016 at our 4th reunion when I was getting ready to retire. When I met John again, he was pretty good at keeping his little secret life going, but what happened is he was disabled and he was not able to work, and he had set aside money to work on his house. And he could no longer afford to do that because he had to keep up with his medications. So he was successfully hid that from us, from all his friends. But he had financial hardships, and I don't know the exact amount, but he struggled to make ends meet. He had a disability policy which was suspended on him, and it forced him to make all his co-payments and medication payments on his own. So John requires many medications for his illness, and sometimes since October 2005, he was forced to make a decision that many of us would shudder at, but he had to curtail a majority of his expenses in order to obtain his medication. So one of those byproducts is keeping up on his expenses and his obligations. So, but John didn't think about seeking outside assistance because he thought it was only for people in real need. He's a proud person, as most of us are, and he wasn't good at asking for help. But in 2019, the situation's changed, and John was the recipient of a grant that would begin to cover the co-pays for his medications. This was a huge blessing for him, and he was attempting to coordinate the payment of the rest of his taxes while still working on the exterior of his house. So while he was working with the Village of Bristol coordinating the installation of siding, he did that more than coordinate with Kenosha about the taxes. So that's, once again, with limited income, he couldn't do everything at the time. On September 4th, he received a notice to vacate the property, which he did not understand. His property had been deeded to Kenosha County on August 26th. When he attempted to pay his back taxes, which he could now afford, he was told that it was too late. He went, looked into it further, and he was told that he had been served legal notice four times when he had never received one notification. I will say that John is a responsible individual, and he is trying to do the right thing. He was overwhelmed, and I can see where, with the stress and of the situation and the hopelessness, where depression would kick in, and he would lose his functioning capability somewhat. But John does admit to being overwhelmed, and looking back, he can see the error of his understanding of the procedure for the tax deed. Kenosha County has followed the law, but how often is it when the person's delinquent on taxes can actually afford to pay them? He's not afforded the opportunity to pay the debt because it's too late. But we do have the opportunity now to do what's morally correct. And I'll be reading a statement from John, which will detail the request, and if acted on, it would set aside the tax deed and allow John Simmers to complete his payment of his taxes, thus allowing Kenosha to be made whole. This would allow John Simmers to retain the property. He would be able to continue renovation on the property and bring it into compliance and meet his obligation to the Village of Bristol. Now that his friends know about his situation, they would also be willing to help him in this effort. But once again, we have a rare opportunity where all the parties will be able to look back at this, this situation probably, and acknowledge that when a community comes together and works together, positive things can happen. So what I would like to do is read a statement from John. So what he has here is a question for resolution authorizing to set aside Kenosha's tax deed for Village of Bristol parcel number 37-4-121-312-0272. The question presented is whether Kenosha County was issued a tax deed, subject tax deed for Village of Bristol parcel, which we just mentioned, on the basis of a defective assessment that in turn caused a defect in the groundwork of the tax, and if so, that Kenosha County is empowered and warranted to set aside that subject tax deed. The brief answer is, I respectfully submit to the Kenosha County Board of Supervisors Finance and Administration Committee should find in favor of the question presented to put forth and support the adoption of a resolution authorizing to set aside the Kenosha County tax deed for the subject parcel from the following. from a statement and attachments provide a record of substantial evidence that supports the finding of the fact to show the 2015 assessment of the subject parcel placed a full value for the interior of the home that was substantively or almost entirely not yet constructed. So the defect in the 2015 assessment in turn then caused the defect in the 2015 tax proceeding for a subject parcel, and the defect in the 2015 proceeding in turn then caused the 2015 tax assessment on a subject parcel to be inequitably taxed. In August 2019, the tax deed issued to Kenosha County for the subject parcel was in reliance on a tax certificate for the same, made due for the delinquent 2015 inequitable tax of the same, and resulting in the paying of more than its equitable share of the 2015 tax, and as such, a defect in the 2015 groundwork of the tax has caused me to bear an unequal tax burden. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has interpreted a county has existing power to set aside the subject tax deed under the circumstances presented by this matter that is found in or implied in Wisconsin Statute 59.03 and Wisconsin Statute 75.22. And in the same vein of the same case, Wisconsin Supreme Court has decided that the county's discovery of a defect in the groundwork of the tax requires that the tax deed be set aside. John's statement of background here says, in August and September 1993, through a purchase I made from the previous owner, I was deeded the land and the home of the subject parcel. The home on the subject parcel was first built in 1944, and there were two additions.
Paul, you're an attorney.
That's it. And you had some material?
Okay. We cannot discuss that this evening. It's not on the agenda.
Okay.
If there's anyone on the committee that wants to agenda that item, I would certainly put it on the agenda, but if nobody so requests, I won't put it on the agenda.
I have a question.
Yes.
As this is a statute that you quoted is a fact, okay? The county can give a tax deed of property. However, is he prepared to pay the back taxes and the penalties that are owed?
Yes.
If we give it back to him, is he prepared to do that?
Yes.
All penalties and everything?
All taxes for pack years.
So we can do it because
I'm
sure the Corporation Council approves, but it's been done. When I was treasurer, I tax deeded one and we gave it back to the guy because he didn't answer the thing and it went on for like so many years. So we can do it, but it has to go through the county board and the county board has to approve it along with a guarantee that the payment will be there to pay all the back taxes. If the county proposes, it's not a requirement, but you can do it.
Yeah, my question would be, I mean, if it would go through the normal process, it would take about a month. Is there anything that's going to happen in a month that would be a problem for this? Because I think we should figure out a way to get it back to them.
We can't just get too much in. I will respect. If you want to put on the agenda, we have a December. The question tonight was, did you want to have a December meeting? If you want it on the agenda, you can have the December meeting.
I take it he's in the house right now.
I excuse.
Take your time.
I have been cooperating with the foreclosure. We've got stuff already in storage, but yes, I am still in the house, and this is taking up a lot of time that I could have been moving. You mentioned about is there anything in the meantime, and it's very perceptive. Next week is the eviction hearing. I would just respectfully ask if there's a way to do it to just continue that, or I don't know what the process would be.
Right now, you're under eviction notice.
I have the eviction notice, and the hearing is a week from today.
Do you have an amount that's owed?
It's roughly $13,000.
What's the house assessed at?
Excuse?
What's your house assessed at?
It's just under $80,000.
All right. There's nothing further we can do this evening under any legal way. I just
not on our agenda. But
if you want to have a December meeting, we can have it on a regular night, a special night, or whatever.
To the chair, if the meeting is after our county board meeting next time. I don't know that it would be or not, because we can ask him. But I would have a meeting before our county board meeting
this month,
which is coming up next week,
right?
Which is coming up Tuesday.
Tuesday,
and we could have it on the agenda for the county board.
John, when is learning about this eviction action coming up? Time and place?
Yeah, unfortunately, I can't tell you exactly, but I believe Mr. Simmons is probably right. It's probably on for next week. We did get a court date. And can it be continued? It can be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When is the court date?
The court date is the 21st at 10 a.m.
Thursday. Is there a request that we have
Finance
committee meeting?
I will make a motion to, or I don't can't make a motion. I can just make a request.
If you'll be here, I'll schedule a meeting at 6:30 on Tuesday. Make your decision. That's up to you. But if you want to be here, I would suggest you be here.
Thank you.
All right, so 6:30 Tuesday.
Is that for us?
Yeah, to get the information to the
you can pass out the information.
Okay. Yeah. Can you see that this is not the county
board
agenda?
Yeah.
Thank you. Because it doesn't do us any good to vote on it.
It passes the committee,
so we'll have a meeting on
Tuesday at 6:30 before the county board. If it passed, then it would be on the thing.
Yes.
It would be on the agenda. It'd be on the agenda. Patty will see to it. Of course, it doesn't take past committee, so we'll just withdraw it.
Right. So.
All right, any other citizen comments?
Thank you for allowing a little leeway. Yeah. You're not a Grinch.
Don't joke.
6:30 Yes.
Is there a?
All right. Nobody else has a citizen comment. I see. All right. We'll move on to committee reports. Are there any committee reports? No. All right, then the first item of business, approval of the minutes for the various meetings in October.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second. Don't ever jump in.
Discussion. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Then we'll move on to the CABA third quarter report. Brock.
Good evening, everyone.
Hi, Brock.
Brock Portelio, Director of Finance for the Kenosha Area Business Alliance. Here to report on the third quarter activity of the revolving loan funds and some other items going on in the county as well. This will kind of run through the reports here. There's a few open items or bigger items to point out, and then I'll just kind of skip to some other highlights. If you scroll down a little bit here on the EDA revolving loan fund, so you'll see we had almost $220,000 of principal and interest payments received for the quarter. It's obviously a larger number than usual. Reason being that number includes a total payoff from Hannah Cylinders of $175,000 in August. I think we talked about this at the last quarter, so I won't go into too much detail there. But they had a total refinancing package of company-wide financing as such a few of our loans, including a piece of the high impact fund, was repaid to CABA. You have two outstanding notes in that fund that have been approved and are pending. That's the $965,000 number. That includes a little over $565,000 remaining to fund to Five Star Fabricating Group, of which I will report to another $207,000 of that was just released on November 6th of this month. So that project continues to go. And we should have one final draw coming up here in the next, in the coming months to kind of close that loan off. And then we have a $400,000 note approved for kitchen cubes on an equipment expansion line. They're a kitchen cabinet manufacturing company located out in the Bristol Industrial Park. In the CRLF, a pretty similar story. So we've got a little larger principal and interest payment there. Part of that pertains to the Hannah Cylinders payoff. And then we've got about $600,000 outstanding in approved loans. $500,000 of that pertains to the Nexus Pharmaceuticals expansion that was recently announced out in the Pleasant Prairie, Prairie Highlands Corporate Park, and then the rest of it, $104,875 was for a business acquisition that we helped fund out in Silver Lake. Company's name is Form Machining. It was a small company that was going to shut down. It was recently acquired with some pretty aggressive growth plans. That's again located out in Silver Lake Park. That closed on November 1st or perhaps October 31st. Lastly, in the CKC fund, nothing new to report here. And I would just note this pertains to that CD. Those are the community development block grant funds, which are currently frozen because there is a closeout fund that I've mentioned before. Still working kind of through the details of how that would work, and we're trying to look at eligible projects that we can repurpose those funds to. But I guess again, kind of no new information there to report on, other than we continue to work on how what we can do with those monies to repurpose them going forward. Then lastly, the high impact fund. So you'll notice the principal and interest, scrolling down a little bit, the principal and interest received of the 122-126, one more page, sorry. That was the amount that Hannah Cylinders paid back as part of the partial forgiveness. The original grant award to them was $250,000. Kind of long story short, with that refinancing, they were required to maintain the jobs for 5 years. They hadn't hit that period yet. So there was a pro rata calculation that's in the terms of the high impact contract to pay back some of the principal plus accrued interest. That's the amount that you see there. So that money goes directly back into the high impact fund. And basically we have that available for another high impact quality deal. Below the line items, you'll see the approved loans of $750,000. Again, we've supported the Nexus Pharmaceutical project for $500,000 out of the high impact fund. The remaining $250,000, which you've probably seen, is the Silgan Containers Manufacturing Company that just leased a 525,000 square foot facility in I believe it's called Kenosha Corporate Park West. It would be like immediately west of the Amazon and U-Line facilities on County Trunk 142 there in the city of Kenosha. Other items, I guess that kind of walks us through the loan portfolio activity. Other items, I would just say we've got some really positive activity that continues to go on in the park. In Prairie Highlands Corporate Park, that 400 acres, we've got Haribo as the anchor tenant. who now the village has completed all of the infrastructure and site work. Shovels will be going in the ground there. Plans for Nexus Pharmaceuticals have been approved. Nexus is a multiple phase project projected to be upwards of $250,000 when all said and done. Phase one is approximately a $60 to $70 million project. You know, you'll have upwards of 100 jobs of really highly skilled, high paying, very high quality jobs. This will be their first manufacturing facility of generic drugs, not only in the U.S., it'll be their first manufacturing plant, period. There is a parcel of land back on that same chunk of its 70 acres that Pleasant Prairie bought, although it's technically in the Bristol boundary. That's recently been acquired by a development company. The Public Service Commission has approved service to that parcel, so we'd look for future development there. Other good news in our Salem Business Park that Cabo worked on with the county and others. We've got 80 acres in Salem Lakes. Bonco Products was our first anchor tenant. We do have a couple of active leads that we're pursuing there, and I think everybody will be happy to get Bonco Products a neighbor out there. So we have some positive traction out there that we've been working on. This is the furthest I think we've probably been along on that. So positive signs there. You may have just announced today, Kroger announced a major new facility in Pleasant Prairie that's going to be a 350,000 square foot facility, upwards of $100 to $130 million of total investment, 400 plus new jobs created from the project. We just had the grand opening plant tour today with Silgan Containers. Again, that I just talked about, over 500,000 square feet. Really just a lot of positive activity in Kenosha County right now. I think maybe just a trend I would point out is we're starting to see these deals.